think I've got it. Thank you. In your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark. Once again, here we come to Mark chapter 1. We're looking at verse 21 through 34. Mark 1, beginning at verse 21 to verse 34. Beloved congregation, this truly is God's Word. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just when there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Throwing him into convulsions, an unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching and authority. He commands even the unclean spirit, and they obey him." Immediately the news about his spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came out into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Jesus about her, and he came to her and raised her up, catching her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Amen. This is God's Word. Thank you, whoever brought the water. I thank you again. Well, beloved congregation, this is God's Word. We've seen the announcement of the King, the ordination of the King, and the message of the King. This afternoon, we shall see the authority of the King demonstrated first by his teaching and then by his miracles. The point that was being made was that Jesus is the King. He should be heard, he should be believed, and he should be obeyed by Israel. The same point needs to be made again and again. If Jesus is King, he must be heard, he must be believed, and he must be obeyed by you and by each of us. Again, this afternoon we are looking at this text in two. Number one, Jesus' authority was demonstrated by his teaching. And secondly, Jesus' authority was demonstrated by his miracles. Well, you should have that a little shorter, but very good. Here's the first point again. Jesus' authority was demonstrated by his teaching. We begin now by looking at verses 21 and 22. Now this text tells us that regularly Jesus taught on the Sabbath day. First, you must know that the word Sabbath means rest. And furthermore, that word Sabbath means that it is a, quote, day of rest. Now, a day of rest is a creation ordinance, just as Moses wrote in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, quote, By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Beloved, that creation ordinance that we've talked about here was stated this way in Sinai, right here as Exodus 20 verses 8 through 11 says. If you've got a Bible, you want to follow that. Remember, we used it two different ways, but we're going to look both ways if you want to keep your Bible with me. This is Exodus 20 again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And therefore that ordinance and that commandment is in effect even right now. Once again, think of that other again, what we started here. That day of rest, you see, was restated also in the moral law. This way, in Deuteronomy 5, if you want to follow this also, over Deuteronomy 5, verse 5, and then down into verse 13 through 15. If you've got that, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your healing, in your hearing, that ye may learn them and observe them carefully." Down to verse 13. Read it again. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, and your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner that stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest. Notice again, may rest as well to you. Now remember the little difference at that, but it continues now down in verse, slightly different in verse 15, quote, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." More, beloved, that first commandment was the sign here of deliverance from bondage and the sign of redemption. That fourth commandment means that Israel had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and Israel had been redeemed from Egypt. But secondly, that fourth commandment means that the true believer has been delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, and the true believer had been redeemed from sin and Satan. Keep going. Once again, that creation ordinance which we read above in what it said in Exodus. And that fourth commandment means that obeying God's law truly means, quote, a day of rest. And that means the true believer is not to work. And it means that there is to be no work for servants. Oh, beloved, the Sabbath day is a day of rest, and it is also a day of worship. It was the custom of Jesus, in keeping God's law, to rest on that Sabbath day and to worship on the Sabbath day every week. The prophet Isaiah teaches us Jehovah God's word concerning the meaning and the blessing of that Sabbath day this way. Looking particularly in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, quote, "In Because of the Sabbath, you turn your feet from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the high heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh, beloved, often too many Christians do not really hear God's word because they are just too busy making their own plans and seeking their own pleasure. Boy, this text tells us that Jesus taught in the synagogue. Now, beloved, this is what this text says in verse 21, quote, "They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach." That word synagogue literally translated was, quote, "to gather together." At that time, the captivity of Babylonians, because Israel couldn't worship Jehovah God in the temple, they set up synagogues so that members of Israel could gather together in order to read God's word and worship. Now, it was the custom of Jesus to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, just as Luke chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, quote, "And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as he was his custom, he entered the synagogue on Sabbath and stood up to read." Beloved, many people play down church and even say too many today that, well, church isn't important, and some even say that it is out of date and that it should be replaced with something different. Now, beloved, this is what God's word properly teaches us in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, quote, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see this day drawing near." Beloved, if you can have a gathering of believers to sing, to pray, to read God's word, to give tithes and offerings, and to receive exhortation and explanation out of God's word by his divinely instituted office holder, that gathering together is truly worshiping. In a synagogue, the early church served the same God, followed the same duty, and obeyed the same worship. Those services would have prayer. They would read the law. They would read the prophets. They would hear a sermon, and there was a benediction. That pattern teaches us that a true worship service is right here in Good Shepherd, Cincinnati. Now, this text tells us that Jesus taught God's word with authority. This is what this text says, verse 22, quote, "They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Oh, beloved, Jesus' teaching wasn't just legalistic babbling. Jesus' teaching wasn't antinomian babbling. Jesus gave a lively, meaningful interpretation of the Word of God. What again. Jesus is teaching. We're not, let me say it again, Jesus' teachings were not full of guesses, not full of ideas, not full of wishes, not lots of hopes, but quote, thus says the Lord. Beloved, God's word proclaimed by a divinely instituted office holder called the pastor must not be full of guesses or ideas of wishes nor of hopes, but saying, thus says the Lord. King Jesus spoke, and his authority was seen and acknowledged. If Jesus is the King, then we must also acknowledge that authority. We must submit ourselves to that authority, beginning to live more and more according to Jehovah God's Word. All too often, we want to acknowledge Him as King with our lips and nothing more. This is the hypocrisy that the world sees and causes them to blaspheme the name of our God. Well, that's the first point. Here's the second one. The second point is Jesus' authority was demonstrated by His miracles that you find now in verses 23 through verse 34. Now, this text sets forth the condition of many of the people in Israel. This text indicated that some there were demon-possessed and some were feverish with various diseases. More, beloved, the common characteristic of all of those who were not well was that they were physically beyond all human help. That's those people who were not well. Some of all types of man in sin. Now, that analogy is not to be pressed, for man is not sick with sin. But the natural man is dead in trespasses and sin. The point is that the natural man is spiritually dead, and he is in help. Furthermore, this is what this text teaches us about the healing of those people. At times, Jesus only spoke and healed some. At other times, He would touch someone else and would heal those that way. But Jesus does not heal every person the same way, whether He did with those who were sick, with those who have a problem, particularly sin. Beloved, Jesus' touch was powerful. His word was amazingly powerful. Throughout Genesis 1, Jehovah God created all things in these words, quote, then God said, and it was so. That man, beloved, was delivered from that unclean spirit. To those other people, many of them were healed. More, this text tells us the reaction of the demons. Jesus is King James. Kingship was demonstrated by His miracles. That is, Jesus as King was healing all kinds of those diseases. And beloved, even the demons were subject to the authority of Jesus' word. And this is what this text says in verse 23 through 26, quote, just then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked, saying, be quiet, and come out of him. Now, in this text, it is stated that the demon confessed confessed Jesus to be, quote, the Holy One of God. But Jesus silenced the demon, saying, be quiet. Certainly that was the wrong time, and that was the wrong agent to confess Jesus to be the one Holy One of God. Oh, beloved, it is now our duty to confess Jesus to be, quote, the Holy One of God, the Savior and the King. And we are the right agents, the true believers, to confess Jesus to be Savior, Redeemer, and King. Well, keep going. In this text now, we must understand the meaning of Jesus' miracles. Beloved, Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law in verses 30 and 31 this way, quote, now Simon's mother-in-law was laying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Even later that evening, Jesus had healed many, just again as verse 32, verse 34 says, quote, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were all ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. Once again, beloved, every demon and every disease has a type or a spiritual picture of sin. Therefore, the casting out of a demon and the healing of any who are ill was typical of salvation. For sin is so subject to the power of Jesus' word. This was the real reason, beloved, that Jesus came. Not only just to heal those who were physically sick, but to deliver men from sin. This Jesus did by taking the place of those who acknowledge his kingship. You must know that Jesus lived a perfect life for us. And he died that awesome death upon the Calvary cross for us. Because our terrible sin has been transferred to Jesus. And he has totally and fully paid for those sins. The sins of those who truly believe in Jesus. Finally, this is what this text teaches us about the reaction of the people. This multitude acknowledged his authority and they marveled at his works, just as Mark wrote in verses 27 and 28, quote, they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. First, the reaction of those in Galilee had heard Jesus' teaching, and they had seen the healing of those who had been ill. Then, the fame concerning Jesus was spread abroad. Now, after Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus, she ministered unto Jesus, just as Mark wrote in verse 23, quote, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Beloved, every true believer who has been spiritually healed must of necessity minister before Jesus more than those who brought others to him for healing. Every true believer must truly invite unbelievers to hear Jesus' word so they too can be spiritually healed. Do you truly acknowledge Jesus' authority? And do you truly marvel at his creation work and his redemption work? We must, however, be warned against a mere mental acknowledgement and a mere mental marveling concerning Jesus' salvation. The demons knew Jesus. And they even acknowledged him. Just as James says in James 2:19, quote, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." Oh, beloved, true salvation means that there is a personal faith that Jesus died on Calvary for me and for you. And there is also a willingness to live for Jesus. And that means a willingness to live according to Jesus' word. Are you willing to minister unto Jesus in your own places of service? That is, in your own home, in your own church, in your own business, in your own school, and on. Beloved, are you willing to spread Jesus' fame abroad? And are you willing to bring others to Jesus for the salvation he alone can give? But that's the second point. Just a very short conclusion. Now, Jesus' teaching and his miracles have demonstrated his authority, and they declare that he is indeed king. However, Israel rejected Israel as the true Messiah and also rejected Jesus as Israel's true king. And Israel was destroyed in 70 AD as God judged her for her unbelief. Beloved, Jesus' authority is set before you again this afternoon. Will you hear Jesus' word? Will you truly believe in Jesus and will you truly obey Jesus as king? Or will you reject him? Now, Joshua set forth before Israel the choice of Jehovah God and the choice of another God, just as Joshua 24:15 says, quote, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is the choice always. What is your choice? Who will you love? Serve the Lord. What's before you? Whatever it is, what is your choice today? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, how we thank you again for the privilege that we have of knowing that Jesus is a king, that he is the true Messiah, that he is filled with power and authority. We thank you, Father, for the choice that each one must make every day. We pray as we gather together that we may say, each one may be say that we truly love you, and we are the ones who also love you and serve you all the time. May we be able, like Joshua of old said, that as for us and for our houses, we pray that we may serve the Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.